Hello, welcome to today's episode of Money Talk with Skylar Fleming. I have a guest on today's episode, and we're going to talk about the question, how can I be happy with my money? I have Alicia Durham on the episode today, and she's going to introduce herself once we get into the interview. But this is a great episode, and one that you're going to want to stick around for, and one that you're going to want to share with a friend and have a money talk. We're going to talk about a lot of great questions like, why do we love money? Can money buy happiness? How can financial struggles motivate you to do better with your money? And then is it possible to be happy and not be wealthy? Or what small steps can you do today to be happier with your money? So keep in mind these two money talking points for today's episode. They are, what is my rich life? And two, what small step would be good for me to be happier with my money? So keep those in mind, but let's get right into today's episode. You know, we don't talk about money enough. It's a topic that gets ignored for some reason, even though it plays a role in everyone's day-to-day life. Well, this issue is what brought Money Talk with Skylar Fleming to reality. I know you're probably busy and don't have time to research and learn about all the things that go into personal finance, but that's where this podcast, Money Talk, comes into play. I'm your host, Skylar Fleming, and I'm here to do the research and learn all the extra stuff about personal finance for you. The goal is to simply get us talking about money, so let's get talking. Welcome to another interview. We have Alicia Durham here with us today, and we're going to be talking about happiness and money, which is a common topic that comes up. Alicia, will you introduce yourself real quick?
Yeah, so I'm Alicia. I'm a personal finance coach with Craig Dacey Financial Coaching, just really specializing in helping people break that paycheck to paycheck cycle and finding peace of mind, even happiness, with their money.
Awesome. Yeah, we're going to tackle the hard question of can money buy happiness later in today's episode. But let's get started just right out the gate. Why do people love money so much? Why is there maybe a question of it even bringing happiness?
Yeah, that's a great question. And it's one I've thought about quite a bit. And I don't know if it's necessarily that we love money, but we love the idea of what money can provide for us. On a very fundamental level, money can provide our basic needs, right? So a roof over our heads, food, clothing, transportation. So on a basic level, money absolutely provides our needs. And then even beyond that, it can provide some luxuries like, that house that you want to purchase or that trip that you want to go on. Even some people feel that money will make them more powerful, provide them more freedom and even status. So it's more of money is a tool that can really provide some things that we value or want in our lives. That's what I think people love money for.
Yeah. And that makes sense. Like who loves the dirty dollar bill that you hold? Like that's right. Not what Ew. You love. You love uh-huh. what gets handed back to you in return of you handing it to somebody.
Exactly. And to that point, I like to think of the analogy of running. Not a lot of people love to run. Gosh, I want to be a person who loves to run so bad, but some of us do it because we like what it gives us, which can be health for some people, fitness, even an image that someone's looking for. It's this action that provides something that we want or need. And I think the same way with money, oftentimes we have to work really, really hard to make our money. Hopefully we have a job that we love, but it still means that we have to work. So we're working to make money to provide us with these things that we want and need.
And I even think in terms of like the opposite side of happy, like if you hate money, you're maybe hating the ways you have to go about getting it. Like you were saying, maybe you have a job you love, which can make you maybe have a better relationship with money. So I think really money's the connection to all these things that we love or hate is where I think we're going.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's so important to find work that you love, find work that is meaningful to you, and in turn be rewarded for that money. I'm totally money motivated in my job. Like I love what I do. And I love that I get rewarded with money for what I do. And so I think, man, that would be the secret sauce right there.
Yeah. If you can be happy on the way you're getting the money and happy on the way you're spending the money, I think that's how you buy happiness, which let's just get right into the big question is, do you think money can buy happiness? Can you go to the store and buy happiness on the shelf?
Gosh. So, you know, I chose this subject and I don't know why, because happiness is such an abstract concept, right? Like it means something different to different people. And so hopefully what I say can be easily digested by this, but I do believe, yes, to an extent, money can buy happiness. Based off of my own experience and even research out there, the general consensus is if you can get yourself out of poverty, like those few dollars that get you from poverty to not poverty, therefore providing your basic needs, that provides the biggest jump in happiness. But beyond that, if we're able to direct our finances towards our values, towards our priorities, making sure that we aren't throwing our money at interest payments for debt, stuff like that, freeing up our finances so that we can provide those things that make us happiness. Absolutely. I do think money can be a major tool in leading us towards that happy lifestyle.
Yeah, I would agree. I've done an episode on this one before of Can Money Buy Happiness? And the overall point that I came to was you're not going to like directly see a direct correlation between how much money you have and your happiness. But as you get better with your money and do better with your money, you're going to see a reduction in that stress. Like you were saying, you're not making debt payments. You're not making interest only payments to credit cards and those sort of things. So I don't think you're going to directly buy happiness, but you're going to reduce stress, which in turn is going to increase your happiness.
Absolutely. Having a nest egg is a major one. It provides security for people. So if something major comes up, like an emergency, being able to fund that emergency provides this lessened stress, right? Mm-hmm. And so therefore we're happier. Like stuff like that. Absolutely, money can be a tool towards happiness.
Yeah. When you like what I've been saying, when you know you're doing it right, things are just moving smoothly. You're stress-free, like something little happens that I would think if you didn't have like that nest egg you were talking about, that could be such a headache and then begins to compound in the wrong direction for you, where now you're putting things on credit cards. Yes. And now you're getting to that point where you don't love money because you hate what money is doing to you because it's stressing you out and everything like that.
Absolutely. Yes. That reactive spending that we typically do on the credit card, can lead to more stress. I mean, if you add up all of the interest that you would pay on a credit card, if you just made the minimum payments, you're talking thousands and thousands of dollars, oftentimes extra going towards a credit card that could go towards things that are more valuable to you, spending extra time with your family, whatever that is. So I think it's major to, get out of that consumer debt and have that extra money, that extra wiggle room. Yeah. And you know, it's like, yes, money is certainly plays a role in happiness, but it's this holistic thing of surrounding yourself with good people, of practicing gratitude. Even when we're in debt, we can still practice gratitude that, you know, we can hopefully start paying off this card, that we maybe write out our expenses and come up with a plan. And so we can practice gratitude and just having a plan, and that can lead to increased happiness. It's this holistic approach that I think can lead to have, and money is certainly a part of that.
Yeah, it's definitely a part of it. Like you said, it's a big overall approach that once you can reduce those stresses that are just seem so day to day for everybody with their money.
Yeah.
Once you can reduce that, then you can start to look at those bigger goals, those things that are going to have more of an effect on your happiness because you're not stressed with credit card payments.
And
one of the things that came to my mind as you were talking through that is opportunity cost of debt. Like most people don't realize how long it's going to actually take them to pay off their credit card if they're only making the minimum payments. So like one thing that's my favorite thing to do is just say, let's plug in your credit card into a payoff calculator and look how it's going to take you 7 or 8 years to pay it off. Like what could you be doing with that money over that much time?
Yeah. And the amount of extra money that you're spending, not just the time, right? Because time is such a valuable resource. But also the extra money that's going towards those debt payments. I love to do that too. And then also put that number, that extra thousands of dollars typically that would be going towards debt payments, put that into an investment calculator and see if we had invested this, how much would it have grown over, you know, the 10 years that you would have spent paying this card off. It really is eye-opening to a lot of people, And on the flip side, you know, thinking about providing for your future and providing security for your future is a major playing point for that happiness as well. So yeah, it's huge. I would say credit card debt just, it infuriates me. The credit card companies do. It's a dog eat dog world out there.
Yeah. So I think one of the summary points so far is how can I be happy with my money is not have credit card debt.
Man, dump the credit card debt. I am not one of those coaches who's like, dump the credit cards. Mm-hmm. You know, like I love to play offense with credit card companies. I would say most of my clients probably shouldn't have credit cards at all. I think they can certainly live a better life without the credit card, but some of them are able to use credit cards in a responsible manner and playing offense with those credit card companies. But I would say for the most part, never ever carry a balance on that credit card, right? Like if you are able to responsibly use that credit card, that means you're paying it off once a week, every single week. You're looking not once a month. I say once a week, get that thing paid off, make money off that credit card company, make them pay you.
Yeah.
If at all possible, instead of you paying them.
Exactly. Keep the money moving out of your checking account so you're aware of how much money you actually have, how much you're actually spending. Because those credit card limits, like one of my wife and I's credit card has like a $10,000 limit. Like why in the world would we need that high of a credit limit? So you got to be careful with those sort of things.
Absolutely. Yeah. And keeping to that tune, I know this isn't a credit card conversation necessarily, but to that tune, if someone does want to have a credit card for whatever reason, like their credit score is important to them, what have you, even if your credit limit is $10,000, keeping it at 30% or less, is incredibly important. But even more important than that is just making sure that this is even aligned with your budget and with your expenses and income, most importantly.
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. I think even though we're talking about happiness and money, credit cards can have a big impact on that, because if you're always addicted to maxing them out, that can be a huge drain on you mentally.
Yeah.
Or it could be a huge reason for happiness, because you're getting free travel and everything like that if you're using them wisely. So they can go both ways. Credit cards are a very important thing to consider. But
yeah, certainly.
Let's talk about this next question. Many people are going through financial struggles, or maybe they're really unhappy with their money. How can that be a motivator for them? Like, how can that motivate people to do better with their money?
Yeah. So, okay. Let's talk about credit cards. Oftentimes what I've noticed with my clients is the reason they ever got into credit card debt in the first place is because they were seeking happiness. There was something that came up that they were like, yeah, I would really like to buy this. I don't really have the cash flow for it right now, but this thing is going to make me so happy. I'm going to pull out my credit card and I'm going to buy this thing. But then this thing or this experience or what have you, then follows them home in the form of interest payments. And this can be a spiral of like, man, I'm really seeking happiness here, but I don't feel happy. I feel overweighted by all of these payments, and this is stressful. And so it kind of backfires on them. And this can tend to be a lot of people's rock bottom, where they're like, I've been striving for happiness and I'm going about it in a way that is actually contradictory to what's actually going to bring me happiness. And that can be their point to pull up their bootstraps and get out of debt and decide to now direct their finances in things that are valuable to them, but in a responsible way that doesn't put them into a mess. I would say for me, my story, while I've never personally struggled with credit card debt, you know, I've had student loan debt, stuff like that. But I used to be a single mom, and that was my struggle with money. I was working a full-time job with below average pay, and really struggling to make ends meet. And for me, what happiness looks like in that season really was just getting my basic needs met, not just for me, but for my child, and doing my gosh darn hardest not to use a credit card to fund those things. For me, that's what happiness looks like in that season. And it was that struggle with money that propelled me in that direction.
Yeah. I like what you said there about like that rock bottom point can be like what people actually need. Like they could go their whole life knowing that credit card debt isn't good for them, or that maybe they're not doing quite the right financial things, but they're getting by, and maybe they're okay with that. But then once you hit that point where like the struggle overwhelms you that's the point where you say something's got to change. I got to figure out how to budget for the first time in my life. I got to how to talk to somebody about how to build a debt payoff plan, because honestly, I don't understand it because there's so much math behind it. Like those sort of things that can like build on the overwhelmness can like finally crack when you hit that rock bottom point. And that can be a huge motivator towards becoming happier with your money. And I like what you said there too about like happiness isn't just being completely rich. Like for you, you were still in a point where maybe you were struggling with being a single mom and paying for everything, but that's still a point of happiness for you because you identified your goals. You knew what you could do. You were setting realistic expectations. So I think that's important as well. Like if you are going through a period where you're struggling with money or it's not going the way you'd like it, like identify how you can still be happy. That way you don't build a bad relationship with money.
Yes. So for me in that season, you know, a lot of people talk about their rich life, and we can be striving to be rich, right? Like a lot of people, that's their goal. They think being rich is going to make them happy. But really, unless you're the richest person on the planet, there's always going to be someone richer for you. So if that's something you're striving for, it's just, you're not going to reach it and you're never going to be happy. But for me in that season, my rich life simply looked like providing for me and my kid, without going into credit card debt. That was my rich life. And so for someone who's just drowning in credit card debt, or maybe they've got these major medical bills, that is overwhelming them. Maybe their rich life just looks like, I need to cover these medical bills and get creditors off my back. Or maybe their rich life looks like all of my credit cards are paid off, and now I've got a little bit of freed up money to go towards other values. So I think it's important to really consider what your rich life looks like. A great book for this is I Will Teach You to Be Rich by Ramit Sethi. I think that's how you pronounce it. He kind of walks through this. And I think that that's so important when you hit like a rock bottom place, really consider what does your rich life look like and start working towards that. Forget about the rat race. Forget about what anybody else tells you it looks like to be happy or rich or whatever. Just internalize, figure out for you, what would it feel like or look like for you? And then push forward in that direction.
Yeah, that's awesome. I like what you said there right at the end, like forget what other people are thinking about and stuff like that. Like that's going to be a huge step towards finding happiness with your money. Cause like you said, it's ultimately up to you. Like everyone can tell you how you need to spend your money, how you're going to be happiest with your money. But another thing that came to my mind is that you have a long time. Like even if you're older and still struggling with money, you still have time to turn it around. There's going to be, you're going to be able to identify how you can be happy with money, and then you're going to be able to succeed in that. You have time to still invest. Like it's never too late. You really, you really do have time. So
yes. And I think time is our biggest resource for its happiness. And so just like you said, we have time. And I think it's so important to put that time to good use, to think about the way you're managing your money today and how that's going to affect you 15 years from now. And just continuously looking at, you know, the time that we have to get where we want to be. There's always hope. There's hope. And just, using time as a major resource towards happiness for sure. That's huge.
Awesome. Yeah. So like we were saying there, your struggles and unhappiness with money can be a huge motivator, but ultimately you still have time to make the changes. Awesome. For sure. So one of the things we were just talking about is like identify your rich life, but some people, they think rich means having all the money or being super wealthy and being able to do whatever you want. Is it possible to be happy, but not be super rich and wealthy?
Yes. Yes. I fully believe that. Listen, I work with clients who have a range of income, you know, all the way down from someone who just makes Social Security and he's in his 70s up to people who make, you know, million plus dollars a year. And I would say the common theme for all of these people, regardless of income, is just simply to have more control over their finances, that they are organized with their money, that they are being intentional with it, and that they don't feel like there's so much month at the end of their money. They just want to be able to save and use their money to fund as best a life as they possibly can in whatever season that they're in. So yeah, I absolutely think it's possible. I also know a lot of wealthy people and know of a lot of wealthy people who are miserable. And so it really just comes down to mindset. mindset, being organized, being intentional, and being wise with the way that we're using our money.
Yeah, I think, yeah, that you just identified really well, like that you can be on both sides. You can have not a ton and still be happy, or have a ton and not be happy. Like either way, I love the saying you said, the too much month at the end of your money. Mm-hmm. And I think that applies like across the board, especially with our previous conversation that we just had about identifying your rich life, whether you like are like statistically rich or wealthy, or like you said, only living on Social Security, identifying like what's possible, making sure you're living within your means. Like that's how you're going to find happiness with your money and not necessarily be super loaded and wealthy.
Yes. And one of my favorite exercises with my clients that I just think everybody should consider doing is to figure out that maximum lifestyle amount that you are going to max out at for your life. Meaning, what is the maximum amount you want to spend every single month to live your life, to cover that roof over your head, food, transportation, clothing, your needs, even like some wants here and there. What are you going to max out at? And then most of the time throughout our lives, our income tends to grow. And I encourage my clients to set this principle of, this is the max that I'm going to live off of. Anything beyond that, I'm going to be really intentional about throwing that towards something that's incredibly valuable to me. And this breaks that paycheck to paycheck cycle. This breaks that, oh my gosh, like there's 5 days left of the month, but I don't have any money. It really creates a lot of wiggle room and a lot of gratefulness and contentment. That doesn't mean they're being stagnant. It just means they're content with where they're at, and mm-hmm. they're still setting goals and creating wiggle room in their finances to provide those luxuries or needs or wants that go beyond that limit that they set.
Yeah, I think that exercise too could be extremely helpful for somebody who's not sure where to start. Like maybe they don't know how to budget. They've never budgeted before. But your exercise of going through and just identify how much do you need to live? Like what's that number? Mm-hmm. And then set that and leave it, and then figure out what you need to do with the remainder. That way, you know, you can get by, but mm-hmm. you also know that there's going to be times where you have extra that you can save, or that you can invest it, or however you want to spend it.
Yeah, exactly. Because we tend to expand our lifestyles. As our incomes go up, we tend to expand our lifestyles to meet that income or even go beyond it. It's so easy and so quick how this can happen. Starting from a baseline, especially with someone who's just getting started, what's that baseline budget for you? And then hopefully as your income goes up, we're still going to stick with this baseline, but we're going to use that extra wiggle room to really like get you to that next level of financial freedom, happiness.
That point where you're comfortable with your money, things are going in the right direction, and you can definitely mm-hmm. feel that shift when you get to a point in your financial journey where you're like, wow, that like we're getting to a point where we're hitting goals, things are happening.
Yes.
And it's really fun when you get to that point. And I think throughout this episode, we've identified some of those things that people can do. They can set their max lifestyle amount, like you just said. They can identify their rich life. Do you have any other small steps that people can do that lead to being happier with your money?
Yeah. And I just want to point out to you that yes, it does feel really good to start reaching those goals. It's like a dopamine hit. It gets addictive after a while. So hold on to hope. Anybody out there who just feels like they're struggling and just feel like they're just trying to get their heads above water, just get to that point, and then that momentum will pick up. Just be persistent and don't give up. But yes, I do have some other ideas, steps that can be taken to lead towards, to use money to buy happiness to a sense. One of the most important things that I would recommend is to dream. Take some time to write out where do you want to be in 1 year? Where do you want to be in 5 years, 15, 30 years? And I'm not just talking financially, I'm talking relationally, spiritually. What kind of career do you want to have, right? Like we talked about time being a major resource towards happiness, I would say more important than money. What kind of career do you want to trade your time for money, right? So where do you want to be 1, 5, 15, 30 years from now? And make a vision board. with these dreams, keep it in front of you, keep it in front of mind, or this can be a Pinterest board for our more tech savvy friends out there. And start thinking about how you can direct your money today so that it leads you towards these 1, 5, 15, 30 year goals. And then I would also say, take an honest look at your finances. I can't tell you, almost every single one of my clients, when I first get started with them, they really don't have a full understanding of their financial situation. They really don't have a full understanding of their income or their expenses, their bills, their savings, their debt numbers, because it can be so overwhelming. And we tend to protect ourselves by not looking at the reality of the mess that we're in. And so this is probably the hardest step, but I think it's incredibly important if we're going to reach those goals and dreams that we've made, is to really list out your income and your expenses. Take a good, hard, honest look at what you're working with. You might find that you actually have some wiggle room, and that's a beautiful thing. Or you might find, like I did when I made my first budget as a single mom, that you're in the negative. But you know what? That's information that you need in order to get you to where you want to be. And then I would say, have you ever heard of SMART goals?
Yes. Yeah. Specific, okay. Measurable, those.
Yes. Yes. So people talk about SMART goals ad nauseum, and it can be like, okay, yeah, I've heard this one a million times, but like, do it, set some SMART goals. And yes, for those of you who aren't familiar with SMART goals, SMART is an acronym, whereas S is specific. So you're being really specific. You're not saying, I want to be rich, right? What does rich look like to you? Be very specific. It's got to be something measurable. So if you're wanting to pay off $15,000 in debt, how are you going to measure your progress towards that? It needs to be attainable. We're not saying I want to be a millionaire in 2 months, right? Like that, it could happen, but it's not exactly all that attainable. So therefore not very motivating, and you're less likely to even try. R is relevant. And this one is my absolute favorite. It goes along with that whole like figuring out what happiness looks like to you. So make goals that are relevant to you, not goals that your parents have for you, not goals that culture has for you, not goals that you think you should have, but goals that actually mean something for you and they're relevant to you. And T is time sensitive. So it needs to be goals that there's a timestamp to it. And this isn't like a pass or fail. Like if I don't reach this goal by this date that I set, I failed. So create a range of dates that would still be a win for you. So like it could be like even a year, like within this year, I want to reach this goal, depending on what that goal is.
Yeah. And I think the time part can be the real motivator, because you know that you're coming up on that deadline that you set for yourself. And I think to go along with the SMART goals, accountability partners can be another huge step towards.
That was one of my steps, is gather a team of people to walk alongside you, to hold you accountable, people who will support your goals, not people who will judge you for them. But you need people who are going to support you and walk alongside you to reach those goals. And of course, get organized, get intentional. Budget. I know people like, it's the B word, budget. I hate budgets. They're restrictive. Set a budget. Budgets are not something that are meant to restrict you. If you have a need or a want, what we're doing is we're looking at the budget to figure out how we can afford that need or want, not if we can afford it. So get organized, budget, check that budget daily. I could go on and on about things that we could do to use money, to fund our best lives.
Awesome. Well, I think that's going to wrap it up. So like you said, you can go on and on. There's a lot more things that you could do to help be happiest with your money. So if someone wants those more ideas, how can they contact you?
Yeah, absolutely. So I would love to be one of those people that are on your team of encouragers and accountability partners. It's what I specialize in. And we've got a team of coaches who would be willing to help out too. So if anyone is interested in undergoing financial coaching, they can find us at craigdacey.com. We also have a YouTube channel. Just search Craig Dacey Financial Coaching, and there's just a ton of valuable information on our YouTube channel as well.
Awesome. Yeah. And I'll make sure those links are all in the show notes, of course, for everyone to find. And I think one of my main takeaways there at the end was you said, take an honest look at your money. And I think doing that with a professional like you would be super helpful for people. So if that's the part that you're most scared about, reach out and they can help get you taken care of.
Yeah, I like to set my clients up with just a very streamlined, simple way of managing and organizing their money. And so, yeah, absolutely. Get organized.
Awesome.
Figure out where you're at financially.
Great. Well, that was a really fun conversation. And it is possible to be happy with your money. If you're unhappy right now, use that as your motivation. But Alicia, was there any last things you wanted to add or wanted to say?
No, I'm just so thankful that you had me. It's been such a pleasure to chat with you.
Awesome. Well, thanks for coming on, and we will make sure everyone can find you and contact you if they have any questions. Thanks.
Awesome. Thanks.
Well, I hope you enjoyed that episode. I know I sure enjoyed that conversation with Alicia. It was really good. I loved our conversation about all those different questions that we mentioned. I think one of our main takeaways, or one of the things that we talked about primarily, was that credit card debt is going to be a source of unhappiness, and it's not going to be good for your overall happiness when it comes to your relationship and feelings with money. But like we both said, you don't need to completely avoid credit cards. There is a way that you can use them to provide you happiness and get you free rewards, free trips, and all those sort of fun things. There is a balance in it. You got to find where you want to sit with your money and identify what you can do to be happy with your money, and then go for it. There's a lot of small steps that you can do today. And please reach out to Alicia if you have questions or maybe you need some help obtaining some of those small steps and moving forward with them. And she can help you find a path to get happy with your money. Her information is in the show notes, of course. So if you need to contact her, please check out the show notes and send her an email or go to their website and reach her there. But if you enjoyed today's episode, please consider sharing it with a friend and then having a money talk. And guess what? We're growing rapidly, which is awesome. Our listener base is growing and growing, which is great. I really appreciate it, which means people are sharing. More people are finding the podcast, which is awesome. And of course, you can find me on social media. All of my handles are moneytalk.skylarfleming, or you can find me online at skylarfleming.com, where I have blog posts, where you can listen to the podcast episodes, or even contact me if you have any questions. I'd be happy to cover them on the podcast. But thank you for listening to Money Talk with Skylar Fleming. I'm your host, Skylar Fleming. Have a great week.
Thank you for listening to Money Talk. The Money Talk show is provided for informational and entertainment purposes and should not be used for personal or specific financial advice. Every situation is unique and different. Please make sure to do your own research for your personal financial situation.